Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Catholic Answers Live. Brand new week for us. I mean, I guess the week starts on Sunday, but, you know, for radio week, we start on Monday. And we're happy to have you here with us. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And 2 hours today, we're going to talk with, and if you are among these, please give us a call, folks who are not religious or claim no religion as their own. And the basic question we'd like to ask, if you're willing to answer and have a conversation with us about it, is why are you not religious? The number 888-318-7884. We are religious. We are Catholics, and we spend our time explaining and defending the Catholic faith, and I suppose trying to live it too. That we do that as well. We'd love to have your call and just get in to chat about it. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Trent Horn, speaker extraordinaire, fresh back from one of the big Catholic conferences of the year. Also author of many books, including Why We're Catholic and Persuasive Pro-Life and Answering Atheism. And he's also listed as an author on Lela Miller's fine book. Sorry, Trent. I just blanked.
Made this way.
Yeah, that's how to prepare kids to face today's tough moral issues.
Yes, good job reading that off the book right in front of you.
Hi, Trent.
Hi, Trent. Hi, Kellett.
I don't know why I do that sometimes. I blank on book titles. So welcome back to California. Where you been?
Well, I was just, as you said, the SEEK conference in Indianapolis. So that was held at the Indianapolis Convention Center. This year, I believe there were about 17,000 attendees at the conference. And it was great. A lot of great keynotes were there. It was spread out over several days. I was able to give two impact sessions or breakout sessions, one of which I think was to probably about 1,500 or 2,000 students and attendees of the conference. But it was great. They're doing a lot of great work at Focus. I'm always grateful for their support and to support what they're doing. And we were also able to meet a lot of fans of Catholic Answers and fans of my podcast, The Council of Trent, who stopped by when I was doing my talks on Friday.
Oh, isn't that great? And how's The Council of Trent going?
I think it's going well. If people are interested, they can check it out at trenthornpodcast.com. But now we've been off for 2 weeks for the Christmas break. I just recorded an episode today that should go up later today or this evening. I was talking about the Supreme Court taking a case on abortion related to the state's right to restrict abortions for eugenic reasons, like for choosing to abort a child because they have Down syndrome. So it did kind of more of a pro-life themed show to start us off. And I also experimented with video recording the episode, and it actually went pretty well. And so now we'll be putting the podcast episodes, both whole episodes and clips, on YouTube. And that's made possible by the generous support of our subscribers at TrentHornPodcast.com.
And you can find out all about everything Trent's doing. Just visit that TrentHornPodcast.com. It's all right there. 2 weeks off from podcasting. Must be loaded with – you're a hard worker, Trent. I don't know.
Thank you, Cy. Thank you.
I wasn't thinking of it as a compliment. I think being lazy is far, far better.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, that's not really true. But
Darren,
you are a hard worker.
Thank
so
you.
Does your brain, like if you take a couple weeks off like that, new ideas germinate and all that?
Yeah,
kind of
I
thing
do. I do get a lot of good ideas. Like when an idea pops in my head, I usually just quick write it down in my notes on my phone before I forget it. But a lot of what I do, whether it's an idea for a book or something to add into a book. Now, it wasn't a true 2 weeks off. I think my wife would say it wasn't really on vacation because I was still writing and sprucing up my book, Counterfeit Christ, which will come out this spring. Mm-hmm. And so it's taking time to do that outside of Christmas itself. But, you know, I do get a lot of good ideas and ideas for the podcast. So it was nice to kind of put all of that together. And yeah, I'll be excited to new episodes are coming online now.
888-318-7884 is the number here. If you are not religious and you'd like to chat with us about why that is the case, that is the question of the hour. Why are you not religious? And that would include who? I mean, certainly – well, I don't know certainly. I mean, I know people who are – they say, I'm an atheist. Well, I don't only know one person who says this. I'm an atheist, but I still believe there's something more than just the material world. I don't know if is that atheism or not. But
that can be atheist.
Could it?
Atheism. Some atheists believe that matter is the only thing that exists. Other atheists believe there could be certain spiritual realities that are ultimately grounded in the material. So atheism is the lack of belief in God. Materialism is more of a positive belief in saying that the only things that exist are made out of matter, which becomes of a strange view when you start to think about things even around us we are familiar with that don't appear to be material, such as our conscious experiences.
Yeah.
So when we have conscious experiences of things being wet or bright or having colors and vibrant sensations, so these appear to be very real, this conscious experience that we have.
Right.
Yet when we go and zoom in on the brain to find it, we don't see wetness, we don't see warmth, we don't see radiant colors like what we are seeing. We see electrical signals among synapses.
Yeah.
So it would appear, it would seem odd. So some people have gone so far as to say that consciousness is kind of an illusion, that it doesn't really exist. But otherwise, it seems that it does. Now, there's a debate about how it is. Even I think many Catholics would believe it's related to the brain in some way.
Sure.
But is it wholly produced by the brain, or is there an immaterial aspect of our existence that goes beyond merely the material? So, yeah, so materialism and atheism are two separate things, even though they overlap sometimes.
888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. But you don't have to be an atheist or agnostic, just if you're not a religious person.
Yeah, you could believe in God, but not think religion is worthwhile, or you maybe have been Catholic but stopped going to Mass for a long time or recently. We'd be happy to talk. I'd be happy to talk to you about that as well.
If consciousness is an illusion, who's having the illusion?
Well, the human organism that you are is having that illusion. The question is there an I that's having it? And so the idea of the self, what that is up for debate among different philosophers of mind, whether there is a conscious self or the illusion of that the brain hobbles together from the different experiences that it processes.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm going to go with there is. I like the idea that I really do exist.
I like the idea that you really exist.
It's always nice to hear.
I like the idea that I exist as well. It just seems that, I don't know. I kind of get the feeling sometimes that there are ideas that are so clearly wrong that only person with a PhD can hold them. You know, I don't mean to be
I agree with you on that point. It reminds me of the discussion I had with Peter Singer at a private Q&A session about 11 years ago at Arizona State University, where he and the majority of the audience agreed that if you're justified in euthanizing a 6-month-old puppy or, you know, a dog, let's say a 10-year-old dog who's incontinent, you would be justified in euthanizing a 6-month-old infant or a newborn baby who has some kind of ailment, even if it's a mild one, because it would be speciesist to privilege a human's existence merely because they are human over another animal. So speciesism would be one of those really, really dumb ideas only a person with a PhD could believe in. That would be another example of mine I'd throw out there, among lots of others. Or radical multiculturalism, this idea you can never critique another culture, even if that culture believes in things like throwing acid on women's faces for committing so-called honor crimes, throwing women onto funeral pyres after their husbands have died, burying twins alive because you believe they've been possessed by a demonic spirit. So the idea, well, we can't critique anybody else's culture. We can't say that they're wrong and we're right. I would think that's another absurd idea born out of academia that should be done away with as soon as possible.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I'm glad to hear we're on the same page there. If you are a non-religious person, you are welcome to call. Why are you not religious is our question today, 888-318-7884. For those of you who maybe have more general questions, the usual apologetics questions, that kind of thing, just hang on. Today we're going to just speak with people who claim no religion and try to have friendly conversations about why that might be the case. Again, 888-318-7884. January is Pro-Life Month and Catholic Answers is trying to make as many pro-life materials available at low cost as we can. So all of our pro-life books and DVDs this month are just $5 a copy. That includes Making the Case for Life, Trent Horn. And what's the other one I wanted to say? Oh, yeah, Persuasive Pro-Life from Trent Horn. But there's just a whole bunch of them up there. We're kind of pro-life people here. So there's a lot of pro-life
materials. I would say so.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be pretty safe to say. Shop.catholic.com is where you go. Click on the pro-life category. Get all the stuff there for $5.
Catholic Answers Live. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose hell. What God is doing is allowing our free will choice, because we have a choice. We can say yes or we can say no. He never wants us to say no. He always wants us to be in love with him. And people need to understand, after we die, you only got two choices, heaven or hell.
Beauty.
Smoking or non-smoking.
Exactly.
Harold Burke Sivers joins Gloria Purvis and the Morning Glory team Monday, January 14th on EWTN Radio.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It feels good because it feels like this is, you know why it feels like this is our first full week? Because this will be our first full week in a long time, because we missed a lot of days recently. So it just feels good to a full lineup of Catholic Answers this week. And this, and today we've got 2 full hours with Trent Horn, Mr. Popular, Trent Horn, speaking at SEEK this weekend. In Indianapolis, some other Catholic Answers people were there too, right?
Donna was there. Emily Sanchez came out. Peggy Stenbeck was there as well. So they came to help man our booth. And I think they stayed there for the majority duration of the conference, actually, to provide Catholic Answers resources to people who were attending and just really help out to manage. We were very busy. I think Emily took a photo of the line kind of wrapped around the wall, you know, going out into the hallway if people wanted to come stop by the booth. So,
well, that's great. Yeah. We got an email from one guy who said he was not interested in Catholic Answers, and then he heard Trent Horn speak, and now he's got to pay attention to us.
And I told you that is a little ambiguous. That could also mean he thinks that we're some kind of threat or something wrong with us.
Now you're on my radar.
I'm going to pay attention to you.
I think you're putting in a nefarious twist on something that was just nice.
I guess you should always try to interpret people in the most charitable way that you can.
Why are you not religious is our topic this hour. 888-318-7884, the number. And let us go to John in Huntington Beach, California, listening on the Catholic Answers app. John. Thanks for your call. Why are you not religious?
I was actually recently talking to Trent, and he mentioned that at pro-life rallies that there were Protestants that would not march with him in the March for Life because he was Catholic. And it's just amazing to me that because of people's different religions, they are not willing to work together to save the lives of their fellow citizens who aren't born yet, all based on their faith. My own personal experience with this is that my father had to leave Northern Ireland as a young man because a Catholic terrorist organization, the Irish Republican Army, was trying to force him to drive car bombs into Protestant neighborhoods and blow innocent civilians up in their ongoing war for the 1960s and 1970s. And I believe that religion is just a made-up thing so that you can impose sanctions and hurt people that you don't like, and then and design it in a way that, well, God doesn't like these people that I don't like, so we're going to destroy them because that's what God wants us to do. And I just say no to all of it, that religion is something I don't want to be involved in.
All right, John. So let me see if I understand your concern, that you believe religion is, one, something that's false, and two, something that is false and was created for malevolent purposes. It was created for, in order to dominate others, to perpetuate violence and other things like that. First, I would say that just because religion might be used for bad ends, that doesn't tell us whether it's true or false. We'd have to look at the evidence for or against a certain religion to be able to do that, because there are people who have religious motives to do bad things. There's also people who have religious motives to do good things. So so I can run a counter argument that the good things show that it's true. If the good things themselves do not show that it's true automatically, then the bad things do not automatically show that it's false. We've got to look at the evidence. So that'd be my first point to raise. Second, I think your argument could actually expand to include lots of other things, because people fight and engage in strife and war for all kinds of reasons. Would you agree that people fight most of the time for reasons that aren't even religious, like for land or resources?
Yeah, I don't participate in that kind of stuff either. I think religion, not always is it fighting like as in battle, but your example of Protestants not being willing to work with you to save people's lives, that's very common on religious basis.
But John, you find that in all kinds of areas. You find, for example, and that's more of a rarity. For a long time, I worked with a pro-life organization called Justice for All that was half Protestant and half Catholic. In fact, a good friend of mine, we were at the G3 conference together. His name was Scott Klusendorf. He is a 5-point Calvinist, total opposite theological spectrum to me. But he offered to let me teach the pro-life session with him because we both are firmly committed. He actually argues against people who don't believe in what he calls theological co-belligerence, or fighting together even though you disagree on theology. So I think, though, saying, yeah, people will disagree on that. Yeah, but you can also find, you know, certain Democrats who would never, ever partner with a Republican to do something, even if it was for a worthwhile philanthropic cause. But that doesn't prove that government itself is a bad thing because you have Democrats and Republicans or political parties that can't get along or governments that go out and fight one another. Also, what do you think about this, John? Are you familiar with the work of Steven Pinker? You ever heard of him?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. So Steven Pinker wrote a book called The Better Angels of Our Nature and The Blank Slate. And he says that violence has gone down a lot in human history. We're now at one of the most peaceful periods in the history of the world. So there's different ways to interpret that. But if you look from like ancient times, you know, even from the time of Jesus until today, in the past 2,000 years, violence across the world has decreased dramatically, while at the same time, monotheistic religions have increased dramatically. There was a time when, you know, there was only, you know, 100,000 Christians in the world and maybe, you know, a million Jews. But from that time now, you have monotheism is the majority religion in the world. Christianity is the largest religion. We also now have the most peaceful time in world history. So I don't think there's a connection there completely that religion leads to strife and fighting and makes the world a worse place, because over time the world has become more religious and it's become less violent. But I guess I would just say to you, do you see what I'm saying? That something can be worthwhile to believe in, even though it may be a cause of division. In fact, wouldn't you agree most worthwhile things, whether it's political or ethical or religious, there will be sharp divisions among people?
Yeah, you've kind of made a lot of points here. So
sure.
I was kind of focused on, I'm not really arguing that religion is not true because it leads to violence.
Okay.
Religion could very well be true. What I'm saying is that it has malevolent aspects to it, and that's why I don't participate in it. So you could take Catholicism, my own family's history.
Okay.
There's great things about Catholicism, but they wanted my dad.
John, what is the specific, like, let's take Catholicism. Now, you talked about the IRA. That's different than the Catholic faith, just the same as Muslim suicide bombers are different than Islam. What specific malevolent teaching of Catholicism would you object to?
So I understand that there's no teaching from the Catholic Church that says that Catholics in Northern Ireland should blow up Protestants.
There's teachings to the opposite of that. There's teachings about not killing, murder, just war.
Here's what I'm saying in answer to your question is my own family's experience. My dad was forced, tried to, that's why he left Northern Ireland, and that's why we're Americans now.
Sure.
by Catholics who believed that they were doing what God wanted them to do by driving car bombs into Protestant neighborhoods and blowing people up.
But John, I could flip
that. That happened in the 1960s.
I could flip that around. In the 20th century, my family, my father's family, fled from the Soviet Union because there were atheists there who believed the best way to promote atheism was to outlaw churches and send religious people to gulags. But that in and of itself, but then what if I said, because there were atheists in the Soviet Union committing atrocities, I will never be an atheist today. That is not a good argument against atheism. Just as Catholics in the IRA committed abominable things doesn't mean I shouldn't be Catholic. Do you see the comparison there?
I do, but I'm frustrated that you have just labeled me as an atheist when I'm not an atheist.
No, I
believe in God.
Right, John. I didn't mean to label you an atheist. I was making an analogy that, you know, for another kind of group that, I mean, you could, to take a hypothetical example, I'm sure you could find non-religious people motivated by their non-religious upbringing and philosophy who choose to do really bad things. Every religion has people in it who will distort its teachings to do something wrong. If that's the benchmark we use to decide what we should believe, there's hardly going to be anything we can believe in because there's always people that distort what's true and good in something you believe in. So the atheism example I picked of the Soviet Union was just, it's just an analogy that for in that case, just as evil atheists in the Soviet Union do not disprove atheism or show it's not worthwhile to accept, bad Catholics in the IRA or in the Middle Ages or where have you wouldn't disprove Catholicism or Christianity or any other religion. I guess finally, before we have to go to any other callers, I would just say that, yeah, if we're going to see if a certain religion is true, that to me is first and foremost. And then from there, we have to decide what we're going to do with that truth. I mean, what good is it if we die and we go to Judgment Day and God says, why didn't you accept the revelation I gave you? I don't see what a good answer will be. Well, because that guy did a bad thing with the revelation you gave him. It's not about that guy. It's about us and the answer we're going to give to God. That's ultimately the only thing that we can control in this life. But I hope that that's helpful for you. And I'm glad you're able to call in.
Thank you very much for that call. We do appreciate it. The basic question we'd like to ask you is, why are you not religious? John told us why he is not religious. And maybe you have another reason. Maybe there's another, or maybe you'd like to follow up on that. You're not satisfied with what Trent had to say to John. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Trent, what about the, we see this growing thing about nuns. And so you have to always explain this.
N-O-N-E-S.
Like, no, I have no affiliation
right.
with religion. So that, yeah. Would you count that as a person who says, well, I believe in God, but I don't have any religion or I don't believe in religion. Would you count that would be a person we'd want to talk to today?
Sure, absolutely. That's why today we're saying, why aren't you religious? That there are many people who might believe in God, who might have a spiritual life, but they just don't see religion. John was a great example of that. He said, I'm not an atheist. I said, well, I never said that you were. I gave an example about how, you know, you shouldn't reject a belief or lack of belief system, if you will, because of the bad actions of a few people, atheism being one of them. I think sometimes it can be helpful when people present a flawed or weak argument against Christianity or Catholicism, it can be helpful to say, what if this same argument were used against a belief you hold or you're at least sympathetic towards? Would you accept that as a good argument? If you don't accept it in those cases, then you shouldn't use it in this particular case. So yeah, there's a lot of people who are just, well, and of course, if you're an atheist or an agnostic, feel free to call in too. You wouldn't be religious either, but you've just taken one extra step to say, I'm not religious because there's no God. Whereas some people say, I'm not religious because I believe in God. I have my own way of relating to him. Thank you very much.
But haven't you heard about this thing where atheist people are being religious, like they're having services? Would you call that religion or?
Religion is something that anthropologists and sociologists have a lot of different definitions for. It can be hard to define what religion is because human experience is very complex. So people disagree, for example, whether, you know, Zen Buddhism is a religion or not.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's the difference between a religion and a philosophy or a way of life? I define religion really as man's response to the divine, man's response to the transcendent.
Okay.
So that leaves room for religions that believe in God. There could be others that believe in more of a transcendental reality, karma, the one, you know, laws of nature, things like that. But at the end of the day, I think religion is really man's response to God or some kind of the divine, mm-hmm. as I might call it in quotation marks, even if it's not God. But atheists really don't. I don't think it's good to say atheism is a religion, though there are atheists who took part in something called the Sunday Assembly. It's like church for atheists.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
But then a group of them broke off because they didn't like how it was being run. So
they're Protestant atheists now.
Yeah, basically. Human nature always finds a way.
888-318-7884. If you're not religious, we'd love to hear from you today. 888-318-7884. More with Trent Horn and your calls after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What does it mean to say that Scripture is inspired? Why don't Catholics believe that the Bible is the sole rule of faith? Do Christians have to follow all the strange and archaic laws found in the Old Testament? 20 Answers the Bible offers a truly Catholic perspective on Scripture, showing how it harmonizes with God's revelation in sacred tradition and with the teaching authority of the Church. 20 Answers the Bible is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Hi, it's Gloria Purvis. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers joins me and the Morning Glory team starting Monday, January 14th. Morning Glory, it's Catholic Coast to Coast. And now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, our guest this hour. Trent Horn, author of many, many books, including Answering Atheism. What's that? You want to give us a clue? What's the next one? Like, do you already know or do you not
Oh, yeah.
Know?
I'm finishing up my book called Counterfeit Christs.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You have talked about that before.
Yeah. So it's about the false views of Jesus you can find among both non-religious and even religious people.
I'm guessing Christ as a hippie might be in there, or that kind of.
That is the first chapter, the non-judgmental Jesus.
Yeah. All right. When can we look for that book?
Probably late spring.
Okay. I'm just doing the math. That's like May, June.
I don't know if I could put a month on it, but of a late season.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Laura in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on Quest Radio. I love Quest Radio. You are up next. Why are you not religious, Laura?
Actually, I am, but I have someone in my family who is not.
Okay.
And they have, he has an attitude. He's a nun. And because there's been a lot of hardship in his life, he always says, so you're one of those people that says everything happens for a reason and this is God's plan. So you think this is God's idea. This is the way my life is supposed to be. And short of talking to him about free will, which he doesn't seem too interested in, how do I address that broad brush that he uses.
Okay. So this person's experienced certain kind of hardships. What kind of hardships has this person experienced? You don't have to be specific, but it might help me wrap my head around it a little.
It basically, he's been accused of something that he didn't do. Mm. And as a result of that, it has cost him his job and a lot of his world has fallen apart as a result of it.
Okay.
So he feels that if God was just, this wouldn't happen.
Yeah. And that's something that's very common when we've been wronged. We feel like that if God exists, he would protect us. He would make sure bad things never happen to us. And so when bad things do happen, we often ask, why is it the case? In some cases, God may directly cause suffering to come into our lives for some purpose. In other cases, God might permit that suffering to take place. He may allow it. As you seem to intuit, for there to be some kind of greater good that can come from that. And I see you tried to explain to him that there's free will that's involved. So God gives us freedom to do good and evil. And sometimes we choose evil against each other. Did you already try to explain that to him?
I did. And you know, his feeling was, yeah, but I didn't do the evil thing. I did what I thought was right. And I think he did.
Right.
But bad things happened as a result, and it's the old argument of bad things happen to good people, and I think he just walked away.
Yeah, and I think, Laura, what you can sometimes it can be helpful to get people to look at things from a different direction. People came to Jesus and asked him about this in the Gospels. Why do these bad things happen? What about this? They said, Jesus, this guy was born blind. Why is he blind? Was his mom a sinner or his dad a sinner? Jesus said, this man was made blind to bring glory to God. And Jesus went on to say that, you know, there are bad things happen to everybody. He said, he said to the people who were asking him, remember when that big tower fell down in Siloam? Like 18 people got killed. Do you think any of them were more or less worse than anybody here in Jerusalem? They weren't. God makes the rain fall, as the Bible says, on the just and the unjust alike. And sometimes the reason God lets that happen, we have to say, I don't know why this is happening to you right now, but you have a choice. And I think this can be helpful, especially to someone who's in the midst of suffering. Laura, you can ask him, you've got a choice. You can go in two different directions here. You can believe there is no God, or God doesn't really do anything. He doesn't matter. And then what happens? You're still falsely convicted of a crime you didn't commit. You're still stuck in suffering. Nothing's ever going to be fixed, or at least unless you were, you know, it's you're still going to be suffering, and then you'll die. And then that's that. Or there is a God. He's all powerful. He loves us. And even though bad things might happen now, God can always redeem this evil, either in this life or the next life. So it may be the case that this friend of yours, he may be chosen so that he can promote goods in this life, to be an example of how to bear wrongs patiently, how to live out Jesus' teaching to love your enemy, to be someone who shows mercy, be an example of mercy and forgiveness to other people. There have been others who've been falsely accused and have ended up in prison, for example. People have been falsely accused of murder and have been in prison. And while they were in prison, they found the Lord and evangelized and helped other inmates who would not have been helped if they had not ended up there. So we just never know. We look at the moment now, we're just not in a place to see any good God can ultimately bring from this. And ultimately, even if we don't see it in this life, we can see it in the next life when God will, restore and give us ultimate goodness with him. And you can say to him, punish those who choose not to repent, punish those who committed this grave evil against him. So it's like, is he going to pick suffering with no redemption or suffering with redemption? And there's no evidence against suffering with redemption. We have good evidence that God exists, that Jesus rose from the dead, that God will bring all things right at the end. So those might be two different ways. That might be one way that I would go about it. Is that helpful as a start?
Very helpful. Very, very helpful. I hadn't thought of it. I like the idea of being an example in this life. And you're right. If he's guilty, I mean, if he's thought to be guilty either way, why not do something that causes some good to come of it? I like that.
Yeah, and I think that you can just say to you can just be honest with them. Sometimes people just need to be honest, and you say, "Look, I can't take away your hurting. I feel really bad you're hurting. This sucks that this would happen to you. I know people have been falsely accused of things, and it's just awful." But you can say to him, why not just turn to God and ask for help? At least say, God, quiet my heart, help my heart to be at peace in the midst of this. Because God has helped people who were sent to concentration camps find peace in the midst of their suffering. Say to him, just ask God for that help. Just ask and tell him. He can say to God, I'm upset, I'm mad. Why did you let this happen? I don't know why. I want to trust you. Just help me where I'm at right now. Let him know it's okay for him to be mad and upset about this and to vent and be honest. But also warn him, look, if you just stew over this, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5:26, it says, be angry, but don't let the sun set on your anger. You know, that if he just holds on to this anger, it'll be that much worse for him. Finally, there's evidence for God out of all of this that he knows that when you're the victim of a moral evil like this, that is evidence of a moral law, you know, the law that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, a law that all of us are bound to obey. And if this law is real, where does it come from? So when we are victims of a crime, we naturally know that there is a universal law and there are these consequences for the lawbreakers. But that always comes back to us as well. So that might be another thing that I would point in that direction. Yeah, and then, of course, if you go to our website at Catholic.com, we have resources on the problem of evil, including a DVD by my friend Jimmy Akin called The Problem of Evil. And so it's called The Problem of Evil by Jimmy Akin, which I highly recommend. I hope that it's helpful for you, and I'm grateful you called in.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks very much. 888-318-7884 is the number here. And we're asking you, why are you not religious if you are a non-religious person? We welcome your call today, 888-318-7884. Trent,
Hi.
I found out that this sale that we're having where it's $5 for pro-life stuff, your book that you kind of glommed onto Layla Miller to write, is, you know, you got on her coattails, in other words.
That's true. Maybe it was the trail of her dress.
Yeah.
Is coattails like in a man's tuxedo?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so
yeah.
I was holding the trails of the dress being dragged into the editing room with Todd.
Right.
So yes.
Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. It's one of the ones that's on sale for $5.
Well, hey, there you go.
Right now at shop.catholic.com. And it just so happens, I got this little note from Carrie about someone who got the book and hasn't even been able to read most of it. She said she was just reading a little bit and it came in handy. She said, this morning, my 5-year-old out of nowhere said, Mom, Andrew said that boys can marry boys. I was slightly in shock. 5? Really? But because of what I read, I felt more confident and knowledgeable than I had previously been. My answer wasn't quite as good as Layla Miller's. Whose are?
Whose is?
But I feel I clearly communicated what I needed to. Seriously, a must read. The indoctrination is starting young. I think that's all true. And you can get it for $5 right now. Hit the pro-life button at shop.catholic.com.
That's right.
We'll be right back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why aren't you religious? That is the question of this hour. And next, we have Trent Horn, apologist here at Catholic Answers, speaker and writer extraordinaire. And we have Dave from Fremont, Ohio on the line, listening on FM 88.1. Dave, why aren't you religious?
Good evening, gentlemen. Well, I don't quite understand the need for seeking, I guess you would say. Religion seems to want to provide answers to people that are looking for answers. But one of my main interests in this is that when I see the whole spectrum of religions, and if we stick to just Christianity for simplicity, okay, you've got Baptists, you've got Presbyterians, Methodists, Catholics. I could go on. There's even different, I listen to the Baptist radio a fair amount, and they even talk about this church not being someplace you should go to because they don't represent the gospel. There just seems to be such a range. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I'm not religious, is because it seems like 98% of Christians think that everybody else is wrong.
Dave, let me ask.
For being some other religion.
Okay. Dave, I don't know if I quite understand the crux of your argument. Let me summarize it. You tell me if I got it wrong. Everybody thinks everybody else is wrong, so nobody could be right. Is that what you're saying?
That could be the gist of it. Like, for instance, Baptists apparently don't think that Catholics are Christians because they aren't born again.
Mm-hmm. But how does it follow, though, in any field in life, that just because lots of people disagree, that nobody's... How do you know that nobody's right? Because it could very easily be the case everybody disagrees and only some people are right. In fact, on some of these questions, it seems to me that somebody has to be right. For example, would you agree Jesus Christ either rose from the dead or he did not rise from the dead? It's got to be one or the other, right?
No.
What would
it be? Could be all a myth.
It could be all a myth that
everybody, that's what they're believing in.
Right. I'm talking about the actual historical Jesus, the man who walked this earth.
Either, I'm not sure there is a historical Jesus.
Okay, well then let's go there. Dave, either there was a historical Jesus or there was not, right?
Not necessarily. They could have been.
Okay, right. The answer to the question, did Jesus exist, is yes or no?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, so 2 plus 2 is either 4 or it's not 4, right?
Jesus is not mathematics.
Well, I think he is. Everything adds up to him, but I guess it's kind of... Okay, well, it's hard for me to see that in logic, we've got something called the law of the excluded middle. So for... factual questions, statements about reality, they're either true or they're false. So you could say, for example, George Washington either crossed the Delaware or he did not, right?
Okay.
So it's either or. Or we'll try this. Napoleon Bonaparte, he either existed or he didn't exist, right?
I think it's pretty well verified that he did.
No. Dave, I'm not asking you whether he existed or not. I'm saying there are only two options. He did exist or he didn't.
Okay.
Okay. But then for Jesus, then, there are only two options. He either did exist or he didn't.
So you're kind of avoiding my question.
I'm trying to get you to see. It just seems, Dave, odd to me. Like if I ask you something about a non-religious area, you have certainty. But then when I talk about in history, but if I talk to you about history involving religious people, suddenly things are more complicated than they need to be. Your main objection was that people disagree, so nobody's right. My reply to that is some of these disagreements are mutually exclusive. So when it comes to whether Jesus rose from the dead, either Christians are right and he did rise from the dead, or non-Christians like atheists, Muslims, and Jews are right and he did not. If Jesus rose from the dead, then either Catholics are right that he established one church that exists today, or Protestants are right. So to me, it seems like somebody, even atheists among this crowd, they've got to be right. We just have to sift through to see who got all the questions right and in what order. That's what I'm trying to do, just follow the evidence. What do you think, does that make sense to you? We should look at these big questions and see where the evidence lands on all of them?
My point is that everybody seems to have a different answer, and you just said it yourself. Muslims don't believe that Jesus arose from the dead. Mm-hmm. And as I stand and look at this whole range of religions, what I see is that people who can rarely agree with what they all feel is the correct way of looking at it.
Mm. But Dave, so we'll go back. Really, let's go back to the beginning, though. Let's go back to the beginning. Just because people disagree, how does that show every single one of them is wrong?
I'm not saying every single one of them is wrong. Maybe some of them are right. So why is there this whole big range of disagreement?
Because they're important questions and they're different answers. So if some of them could be right, how would we go about trying to figure out which ones are right?
I don't know. Methodists think they're right. Presbyterians think they're right. Catholics think they're
right. Do atheists think they're right?
Muslims think they're right.
Dave, do atheists think they're right?
I suppose so.
Do you think you're right?
I'm not trying to answer these questions to myself. I'm not seeking answers. I don't understand why everybody has to run around seeking answers to questions that don't necessarily need to have answers.
Well, I think there are questions, there are big questions that are important, and do you think we should at least try to answer them? Like, one question everyone tries to answer is this: what happens after you die? Religious and non-religious people disagree. Would you agree that is an important question we should at least try to answer?
If that's the way you want to spend your time, I don't worry too much about what happens when I die.
What if you live?
It's not important to me. I'm more concerned about what happens when I'm alive.
What if you're going to live forever?
I suppose it's possible. I don't know, and I haven't had anybody come back to tell me.
Right. Well, I know a guy we talked about earlier. His name was Jesus. He did come back, and he talked about that. So for me, that's why it's such an important question to answer. So I think we agree these are important questions. Just because people disagree about them, it does not follow there is no right answer. And so what we should do is just try to sit down and apply standards to determine who is correct, or at least who is closer to the truth and who might be further away from it, using standards like logic, reason, principles of history. And that's what I've tried to do, and that's what I've done even in my book. So I tell you what, Dave, I will send you a copy of my book, Why We're Catholic. And you can see my reasons in there more in depth. And then what we can do is you can read it at your leisure, call back when I'm on, and you can let me know if you find the reasons compelling or not compelling. So I think that'd be a lot of fun. So stay on the line, and our call screener will get your address. We'll send you Why We're Catholic. You can look at the reasons, and then you can call back and tell me what you think of them. So why don't we do that? Stay on the line, and we'll get you that book.
Thanks, Dave. Dave seemed very reluctant to say that yes or no questions are either answered with a yes or a no. That's
only when it came to religious questions.
Oh, yeah. That's...
I think that, you know, with math, either 2 plus 2 equals 4, or even with secular history.
Right.
If I say to you, did Napoleon exist? Yeah, yeah. There's either a Napoleon or there's not a Napoleon. Bonaparte.
Right.
But I've had this too happen as well with atheists. I want to ask them a simple yes or no question, like, if the universe has a cause for its existence, it is either material or immaterial. And they say, I don't, it's either one, right? No, there could be a third option. Like what? Well, I don't know. There just could be. How? Material and immaterial just mean material and not material.
I know. One negates the other.
Right. There are things that just...
that covers everything.
Now, there could be... You're correct. There could be immaterial explanations that are beyond the scope of our understanding.
Right.
It'd be very difficult for us to understand. But at the end of the day, reality, no matter what higher dimension you go into, is either material or immaterial.
Yeah.
There is either, in logic, A or not A when it comes to propositions about reality. They're either true or they're false, either A or not A. So yeah, it's funny that some people, I think they realize when if you start to answer a question, you know, that's a simple yes or no, they're more worried about like falling into some kind of trap than getting to the truth. And I'm not trying to put people in a trap. I'm really not trying to do that. I'm trying to get at the truth. Yeah. And one way to get at the truth is to ask those particular kinds of questions that have mutually exclusive answers, because now we know how we can narrow down the gap a little bit. And so that's what I try to do. So I just find it funny that people think for a second, oh my gosh, so many people disagree. How could any one of them be right?
Yeah.
You know, because it seems like hubris. Like you think you're right and everybody else thinks they're right. But some of us are right on some of these questions.
Right.
Because if it turns out Islam is true, then Muslims were right about God, but Christians were wrong about Jesus. If it turns out Christianity is true, Christians were right about God when compared to atheists. Christians and Muslims were right about the existence of God.
Yeah.
But Christians and Muslims were in disagreement about Jesus. Christians were right and Muslims were wrong. Just because someone's wrong about something, by the way, when I say they were wrong, I'm not making a moral judgment, a blanket moral judgment. That some people think that if you say someone is wrong or believes something false, you're like saying they're a bad person. That's not the case.
No, we're wrong about things all the time.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine used to give these seminars. He always began his talks. He would say, how many of you believe false things? And he would always answer, I believe lots of false things. I just
don't know what they are.
He said, I just wish I knew what they were.
Yeah.
And then I would stop believing them.
Right.
So that's all of us. I could be wrong about stuff. That's why I'm happy to talk with people who disagree, to go through the evidence and see which way it points. But the arguments that impress me the least are ones that simply say, so many people disagree, who knows? Well, now we're just throwing up our hands. We can start doing the hard work and look through it. We've got, as the Bible says, 70 years, 80 if you're strong.
Yeah.
You know, we've got time usually to sift through these, and these are important questions, and we should try to figure out answers to them and not just spend all our time on Netflix, you know?
Well, and I'd be interested if there are more people who would express, and we're going to be doing this for a whole hour more, so please feel free to call if you like, but the sense of that being indifferent is somehow a positive thing. That I wonder if that's just a modern idea or what, but being indifferent, I don't
it's
care
a
whether
sense there's a modern idea.
Yeah.
I find this a lot with skeptics and people who are non-religious, that it is worse to believe something that's false than to fail to believe something that's true. See what I'm saying there?
Yes, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's this idea that it's like, it'd be better. I don't want to end up believing something and it turns out to be false. I don't want to be one of those people that got duped. So I'd rather just be the cool, indifferent, objective person who doesn't take a stand. I'm agnostic, whatever. But that neglects the fact that you could probably be more harmed by not believing, by failing to believe what's true. Because a lot of times we only think of harms in terms of being made worse off, in the sense that I'm good, then I did something and then I got hurt or suffered. And that's what we think of harms. But we don't think of missed opportunity costs. We don't think of the harm in that we lived our lives and we failed to receive something really great and wonderful.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, happens in this life if we choose not to believe in God and believe in the promises that he has for us. But also in the next life, that what's hard is we think everything's fine with us the way we are now. But if we were left to our own devices for all eternity, apart from God, that literally will be a hellish experience. To give,
yes,
yeah,
that
we might be able, because some people in the modern world, I think they think of it this way. I don't need religion because I'm doing fine right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right now you are.
That works in a very finite, limited scope.
Right.
Yeah, you can make yourself content over certain periods of time.
Yeah.
But when you look at the big picture, either usually over your whole life or your whole eternal existence,
yeah,
especially your eternal existence, that won't be the case, because we have a natural longing for unending happiness that this world and our own finite selves cannot provide.
Why are you not religious is the question. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. I realize I made you wait there a little bit, but we'll get to you right when we come back. If you haven't dialed yet, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Whatever your religion, reason for being non-religious might be, whether it's strong atheism, weak atheism, agnosticism, or I believe in God, I just don't believe in religion. We even have lots of folks now who say, I believe in Jesus. I just don't believe that he believed in religion, so I've quit on religion. All of those are welcome. Why are you not religious? This hour on Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. The number. Right back after this.